RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo issues decree to boost fishery industry. Indonesia is considering a name for waters north of Natuna. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has issued a presidential decree that is expected to boost the fishery industry. The decree, signed by the President on August the 22nd, instructs 25 ministries and government agencies to speed up the development of the fisheries industry. Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujiastuti said on Friday that the ministries must make integrated efforts to boost the industry and help local fisher folk. President Joko Widodo also instructed the ministry to evaluate regulations that hampered the development of fishery and local salt-producing companies, the domestic market, and the exportation of maritime products. Minister Susi said her ministry would make a fisheries development roadmap and a master plan on commercial fisheries zones. Separately, Indonesian Traditional Fishermen Association Legal Division Head Martin Hadiwinata welcomed the decree, saying it would help improve fisher folks' welfare. It could also help with the development of downstream businesses, such as fish processing plants, as the ministry tended to focus on upstream management by tackling illegal fishing. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said that the current oil and gas production ready for sale or lifting is still quite good. However, according to Luhut, efforts must be made to improve the search of exploration of oil and gas in Indonesia. Luhut Panjaitan in South Jakarta on Friday, August the 26th, said that one of the ways is by working with the Navy. He explained that the reserves of oil and gas is currently low, thus cooperation with the Navy will focus on exploration of oil and gas by deploying ships of the Navy. He added that the Navy ships will also be programmed to carry out studies in the ocean because now there's a lot of oil in the sea. Luhut Panjaitan further said, Indonesia should be more efficient in the face of current global economic conditions. He concluded that Indonesia, particularly the government, has to work more efficiently and there should be a teamwork. Human rights activists have rejected a House of Representatives plan to reinstate deliberation on a government-proposed national security bill, which has been on the back burner for years over concerns that it may pose a threat to the rule of law. House Speaker Ade Komarudin, who is a member of the Golkar Party, earlier this month proposed that the bill should be included in the institution's priority list shortly after a meeting with officials from the Ministry of Defense. National Commission on Human Rights Commissioner Rohatul Aswida has said that the most fundamental thing under the bill is the definition of national security. It must not lead to multiple interpretations. National security is indeed a clause that could be used to limit human rights, but how to limit them should then be thoroughly reviewed. The bill also includes provisions on the authority of the government to declare martial law in response to civil unrest if it is considered a threat to national security. Indonesia's Minister of Forestry and Environment, Siti Nurbaya, has said the country has been placed under emergency with regards to anticipating and preventing the impact of smoke emanating from forest and land fires. She made the statement during a visit to the Tanah Laut district in South Kalimantan, adding that her office keeps monitoring forest and land fires in the country. She explained that as soon as a fire is detected, it would be immediately put out. As a result, the number of fires this year has dropped sharply by 70% to 90%. She added that the number of hot spots in Jambi and West Kalimantan has dropped by 90%, and so have the spots in South Kalimantan and other regions. However, from July to August, there has been a hike in the number of hot spots, which doubled, especially in Riau and West Kalimantan, to make the firefighting coordinating team busy. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Several F-16C/D Fighting Falcon fighter jets will be stationed at Rusmin Nuryadin Air Base in Pekanbaru, Riau to strengthen the air defense capabilities over the Natuna Islands. The jet fighters will be replacing the F-16AB, the older variants of the single-engine supersonic multi-role fighter aircraft developed by Lockheed Martin. Commander of Rusmin Nuryadin 1st Marshal Henry Afandi said on Saturday that the F-16CD aircraft will be fully operational at Rusmin Nuryadin to support the Natuna Islands air defense. As many as 9 of the fighter jets have arrived at Rusmin Nuryadin Air Base, while several of them were still being prepared at the Iswahyudi Air Base in Madiun, East Java. They were currently undergoing maintenance and several modifications, such as having their air brakes adjusted to Rusmin Nuryadin's landing strip. An Indonesian migrant worker is set to deliver a speech at the United Nations Summit on Refugees and Migrants next month to push governments to better protect migrant workers. Annie Lestari, a migrant worker who has worked in Hong Kong for 16 years as a domestic helper, was selected after a thorough selection process by the United Nations to represent millions of migrant workers around the globe. The UN General Assembly will host the high-level meeting on September the 19th at the UN headquarters in New York with around 1,900 attendees, including presidents and prime ministers of UN member countries, academics and religious leaders. President Joko Widodo from Indonesia is also scheduled to attend the summit. The event is aimed at addressing the massive movement of refugees and migrants with the aim of bringing countries together behind a more humane and coordinated approach, according to a statement on the UN website. In front of the world leaders, Annie Lestari wants to point out that the countries with migrant workers should stop thinking of workers merely as sources of money. Last item. Indonesia is considering a name for the waters in the northern part of Natuna District in South China Sea. The Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs, Luhut Panjaitan, said at the inauguration of the Sudarsono Darmo Suwito Hospital in the Kabil Integrated Industrial Zone in Batam City, Sumatra's Riau Islands Province, on Saturday, that the government is still processing it. He added that Laut Natuna Utara or North Natuna Sea has been proposed for the name of the area, which is an Indonesian exclusive economic zone that must immediately be secured. Luhut Panjaitan, who is now also Acting Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, explained that since the beginning, the name of the Indonesian territory in the district of Natuna was Laut Natuna or Natuna Sea. He stated that he must make the name of Laut Natuna Utara or North Natuna Sea clear. He added that no party would be hurt with regards to the plan because the area is part of Indonesia. To end the news, here are the main points once again. President Joko Widodo issues decree to boost fisheries industry. Indonesia declares forest fire emergency. Indonesia is considering name for waters north of Natuna Island. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This is RRI World Service with news from Indonesia, which presents a variety of interesting information from across the country in a week. The first news comes from Yogyakarta. For the 28th time, Yogyakarta Arts Festival is being held in Condong Catur Park, Sleman, Yogyakarta, from August the 23rd to September the 9th. The arts and cultural event is themed The Future, Today and the Past, opened by Yogyakarta Governor Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X. In his speech, the Sultan said that Yogyakarta Art Festival is always preserved because it is supported by love of art as a profession and a calling. According to him, the festival shows the strength of Yogyakarta, which has creative artists who are able to move the creative economy sector. Yogyakarta Art Festival opened with a parade of art, followed by 38 contingents from 4 districts and 1 special region of Yogyakarta, art groups, creative community, educational institution, and students, as well as delegates from other regions such as Gianyar in Bali, North Sumatra, and West Nusa Tenggara. In addition to the art market in the Condong Catur Culinary Park, the 28th Yogyakarta Art Festival also holds Art Mart at Taman Budaya Yogyakarta that provides 80 free stands for creative art community. Next news comes from Tojo Una-Una Central Sulawesi. Government of Tojo Una-Una Central Sulawesi is holding the 12th Pesona Bahari Togean Festival from August the 27th to 31st. The festival is held in an effort to promote Togean, which has a beautiful beach, amazing underwater panorama, and wonderful flora and fauna. Cindy A., spokesman for organizer of Visit Touna or Tojo Una-Una event, said on Wednesday in Palu that the natural beauty of this region will be combined with local wisdom of natives Bajo tribe who live in harmony with nature. She said all tourist community will reinforce Togean as one of the leading destinations in Indonesia. The latest news comes from Tangerang, Banten. A number of dance artists from home and abroad perform cultural introduction to a number of schools and shopping centers in the city of Tangerang in Tangerang International Folklore Festival 2016. Chief Executive of Tangerang International Folklore Festival, Fadil in Tangerang on Tuesday said the purpose of this activity is to preserve art and culture in the community, especially students as the future generation. In particular, the traditional Indonesian art and culture so as not to be forgotten by the people in this country. In addition to the introduction to the culture, the dance artists also held a workshop for students and the community in general. These artists opened a question and answer session in order to provide knowledge about art and dance. Tangerang International Folklore Festival 2016 was held for 6 days starting on August the 21st until 26th in the city of Tangerang. The festival was attended by artists from 4 countries, namely India, Sri Lanka, the Philippines, and Mexico. Well, that was news from across Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1963, March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. gives his I Have a Dream speech. The March on Washington for Jobs and Freedoms, the March on Washington or the Great March on Washington, was one of the largest political rallies for human rights in the United States history and demanded civil and economic rights for African Americans. It took place in Washington, D.C. Thousands of Americans headed to Washington on Tuesday, August the 27, 1963. On Wednesday, August the 28, 1963, Martin Luther King Jr., standing in front of the Lincoln Memorial, delivered his historic I Have a Dream speech, in which he called for an end to racism. Estimates of the number of participants varied from 200,000 to 300,000. The most widely cited estimate is 250,000 people. Observers estimated that 75 to 85% of the marchers were black. The march is credited with helping to pass the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and preceded the Selma Voting Rights Movement, which led to the passage of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Next is from 1964. Muhammad Najib, Egyptian general and politician and the first president of Egypt, dies. Muhammad Najib, who was born on February 20, 1901 and died on August 28, 1984, was the first president of Egypt, serving from the Declaration of the Republic on June 18, 1953 to November 14, 1954. Along with Gamal Abdel Nasser, he was the primary leader of the Egyptian Revolution of 1952, which ended the rule of the Muhammad Ali dynasty in Egypt and Sudan. The last is from 1990. Iraq declares Kuwait to be its newest province. In 1990, Iraq accused Kuwait of stealing Iraqi petroleum through sand drilling, although some Iraqi sources indicated Saddam Hussein's decision to attack Kuwait later on was made a few months before the actual invasion. Some feel there were several reasons for the Iraqi move, including Iraq's inability to pay more than $14 billion that had been borrowed to finance the Iran-Iraq war, and Kuwaiti production of a large amount of petroleum, which kept revenues down for Iraq. The invasion started on August 2, 1990, and within 2 days of intense combat, most of the Kuwait armed forces were either overrun by the Iraqi Republican Guard or fell back to neighboring Saudi Arabia and Bahrain. The Emirate of Kuwait was annexed, and Saddam Hussein announced a few days later, or to be exact, on August the 28th, that it was the 19th province of Iraq. Well, that was Today in History. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with highlights of this week. This edition is on Indonesians, victims of Hajj pilgrimage fraud already in the embassy in the Philippines. Director General of Indonesian Police Criminal Investigation, Brigadier Agus Andrianto, in Jakarta on Friday said a total of 138 Indonesian citizens were arrested for using fake Philippine passports to perform the Hajj pilgrimage have been moved to the Indonesian Embassy in Manila from the Philippine Immigration Bureau Detention Center. Meanwhile, the remaining 39 citizens, until the news was released, were still in the immigration detention and will soon be transferred to the embassy in Manila. Director of Indonesian Citizen Protection and Legal Entity Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, through a press conference on Friday, August the 26th, said the removal had been conducted after the Indonesian Embassy in Manila provided a letter of guarantee to the local authorities on Thursday, August the 25th. The reason for the removal was because the detention center is too small to accommodate the hundreds of victims of Hajj pilgrimage fraud. Efforts to verify those people, who mostly come from Sulawesi, is still being conducted through Immigration Management Information System, which contains data on the Indonesian citizens. All 177 citizens were arrested on August the 19th at the Manila International Airport while leaving for Saudi Arabia to perform Hajj pilgrimage. They proved to be using fake Philippine passports to tap the country's Hajj quota, while Indonesia's Hajj quota is very limited compared to the number of Muslims who want to perform the pilgrimage. The Indonesian government believes they were victims of fraud and asked the Philippine government to release them. Ade Petranto, Indonesian Deputy Ambassador in Manila, said all the 777 citizens were generally in good condition. An embassy team with a team from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs will take care of them while in the embassy. Although they have been moved to the Indonesian embassy in Manila, the 177 citizens cannot directly be repatriated to Indonesia. Further on, Petranto said that on August the 13th, officials from the Ministry of Justice planned to visit the embassy to see the 177 citizens. Thus, it is estimated that up to that date, the citizens cannot be repatriated. According to Petranto, currently the ambassador in Manila continues to strive for the process to be completed soon. It is expected that the 177 citizens can be immediately repatriated unless some of them are indeed needed as witnesses in the trial later. That was highlight of this week over Voice of Indonesia. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for news in brief. President Joko Widodo has issued a presidential decree that is expected to boost the fisheries industries. The decree instructs 25 ministries and government agencies to speed up the development of the fisheries industries. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said that the current oil and gas production ready for sale or lifting is still quite good. However, efforts must be made to improve the search of exploration of oil and gas in Indonesia. Human rights activists have rejected a House of Representatives plan to reinstate deliberation on a government-proposed national security bill, which has been on the back burner for years over concerns that it may pose a threat to the rule of law. Indonesia's Minister of Forestry and Environment, Siti Nurbaya, has said the country has been placed under emergency with regards to anticipating and preventing the impact of smoke emanating from forests and land fires. Several F-16CD Fighting Falcon fighter jets will be stationed at Rusmin Nuryadin Air Base in Pekanbaru, Riau, to strengthen the air defense capabilities over the Natuna Islands. An Indonesian migrant worker is set to deliver a speech at the United Nations Summit on Refugees and Migrants next year to push governments to better protect migrant workers. Indonesia is considering a name for the waters in the northern part of Natuna District in South China Sea. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder, a special segment which introduces Indonesia's tourism potentials, including tourist destinations, art and culture, also culinary. Today, I'll take you to Perak or Silver Island in Kepulauan Seribu or the Thousand Islands. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program via live streaming at www.voi.co.id. Pulau Perak or Perak Island is one of the 23 small islands under the administrative of Harapan Island. The island is covering 3.06 hectares of land area and uninhabited, Its designation is as a recreation for tourism zone. The only occupants are the guards who also sell food and drink in some stalls. Perak Island is one of the beautiful islands in the 1000 or 1000 Islands area of Jakarta Bay. This beautiful island is adjacent to Harapan or Hope Island. Perak Island has a charming white sandy beach that makes it a must-see if you visit Harapan Island. And usually, travel agency will arrange a visit to Perak and Harapan Islands in one package as part of the cruising the islands. The uniqueness of Perak Islands is a stretch of white sand so smooth that you can enjoy the sensation of sleeping on the sand. From the coast of Perak Island, you can immediately see the seabed with white sand and scattered coral rocks. The seawater looks very clear, so fish and coral on the bottom can be seen directly from the surface without having to dive. Guaranteed, kids will love playing with white sand at the edge of the shallow water, no ticket nor special fee to enter the area of Perak Island. You just have to pay the mooring and docking of the boat at the pier at $25,000 per boat. If you use a travel agency amid the tight schedule and your activities during the tour in Harapan Island, Perak Island is always included in the main list that must be visited. Generally, the boat will be docked on Perak Island during the late afternoon after exploring the beauty of the underwater panorama in some spots through snorkeling or a visit to some of the other islands. Usually, the tourists will come to eat and drink coconut water on Perak Island. In the shade of large trees, you can eat and drink and relieve fatigue in some bamboo chairs deliberately made to relax. For the backpackers, if you want to camp in Perak Island, you have to prepare all the equipment from home because Perak Island does not provide the tent for camping gear. If you want to camp here, you have to pay 25 until 30,000 rupiahs per person in exchange of the provision of land for tents and cleaning the area. Perak Island's location is far enough from the city to make it free of pollution. As marine tourism in general, the activities that can be done in Perak Island are swimming, snorkeling, relaxing on the beach, fishing around the docks, and of course, the most interesting is camping on the beach. If you want to go to Perak Island, you can take a boat from Muara Angke in North Jakarta. At first, you will go to Harapan Island. The time needed to get to Harapan Island is approximately 4 to 5 hours. You can also depart from a pier in Marina Ancol using a speedboat with a travel time of 1.5 to 2 hours. From Harapan Island, you can continue the journey to Perak Island by a ship or chartered boat around the docks, of course with varying prices depending on the type and size of the ship. The travel time from Harapan Island to Perak Island is about 30 minutes. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder. Hopefully, visiting Perak Island will be your agenda on your next vacation. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is a report service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including arts and culture, customs and traditions, technology and environment, and even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing young researchers who utilize cassava and banana waste as raw material for aircrafts and ships. Besides via shortwave, You can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Cassava peel and banana steam have been rarely used and only become wastes, but two Indonesian students, Ravi Jaya Sutrisna and Suprihatin, from Diponegoro University Semarang, Central Java, have proved that these wastes can be a very useful raw material for aircraft and ship. The invention of the two students made them won gold in the International Young Inventors Project Olympiad 2016 in Georgia some time ago. They defeated more than 100 scientific projects from 35 countries, including USA, Germany, Slovakia, Bosnia, Denmark, and other countries. The research begins from their concern for many cassava peel in their district, namely Pati District, Semarang Central Java, which reach 10 tons per month. Rafi said that this waste increased every day. Together with Suprihatin, he began to research the waste material until it becomes active carbon of cassava peel. Besides utilizing cassava peel, they also utilize banana steam. They take one by one the fiber of banana steams that have been collected and cut with a size about 2 mm. The active fiber of banana steam and cassava peel then is mixed using resin and catalyst, and it will create a composite as an alternative of raw material for aircraft and ship. Composites derived from natural ingredients are claimed to be more efficient, lightweight, fire resistant, and strong, so it can actually be used for industry widely. The research was conducted for over 1 year. They want to continue to develop the invention to be immediately applied in the industry in general, particularly the automotive industry. Rafi added that if the invention can be applied in the industrial world, Indonesia will become a producer of composite manufactured from natural fibers, reducing the use of fiberglass. Rafi and Suprihatin's invention has attracted interest from a German service providers and technology companies in Indonesia, Bosch. Indonesia Bosch Managing Director Ralf von Baer said the young inventors have met his company was impressed with a series of innovations created to support a change in the aircraft industry and the automotive sector. As a form of appreciation, the company has facilitated the two young researchers to conduct comparative studies to headquarters and research and development center for Bosch in Indonesia. Well, listener, that was miscellany for today's edition. We will see you again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails.
First, I would like to read an email sent by Jayanta Chakrabarti in India. We received his email on August 12, 2016. In his email, Mr. Jayanta Chakrabarti conveys his felicitations and sincere best wishes to all. Inshallah, may peace, progress, and prosperity be showered on the citizens of this great country in the days to come, he said. Hello, Mr. Jayanta Chakrabarti. Thank you very much for your prayer on our country and our people. May Allah also give the same wishes to you and your country. Well, Mr. Jayanta Chakrabarti, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception report. Thank you. And before we read another email, we'll play a beautiful song. This song is also for our regular listeners wherever you are. Enjoy the song.
Saatnya, oh, 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 oh.
Listener, now we will reply an email from Patrick Travers in England. He was listening to our broadcast in German language through frequency of 9525 kHz on July 28, 2016 at 18:10 hours GMT. He also asked to send him our QSL card. In his email, he is thankful for continuing to use shortwave bands for our international broadcast and asked to continue to use this mode of operation. Hello, Mr. Patrick Travers. Thank you for your email, dated 29 July 2016. We appreciate very much for your attention on our broadcast. And as your information, we also broadcast an English program. Hopefully, you can give your criticism or suggestion for the improvement of our broadcast. And for your request, we sent our QSL card some time ago, and we hope that the QSL card has arrived to your address. Well, Mr. Patrick Travers, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception report. Thank you very much.
Seperti bintang-bintang hilang di telan malam, bagai harus melangkah tanpa ku tahu arah. Lepaskan aku dari derita tak bertepi saat kau tak di sini. Seperti dedaunan berjatuhan di taman, bagaikan debur ombak mampu pecahkan karang. Lepaskan aku dari derita tak berakhir saat kau tak di sini. Saat tak pernah bisa. Whoa. bintang-bintang hilang di telan malam.
You are listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to reply a comment from Pradip Chandra Kundu in India. In his email, Mr. Pradip Chandra Kundu said that he is a government school teacher by profession. He has been a radio fan, shortwave listener, and above all, a DXer since his childhood. Hello, Mr. Pradip Chandra Kundu. Thank you for your email, dated 7 of August 2016. As a DXer, we believe that you also tune in our radio. What is your favorite segment of our program? Can you hear our broadcast clearly in your country? Well, Mr. Pradip Chandra Kundu, we hope that Voice of Indonesia is able to satisfy you. We have many interesting segments such as Indonesian Wonder, which tells about arts, cultures, and also about the beautiful country. And also we have Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, where our listener can learn our national language word by word through this segment. So please keep monitoring our radio and don't forget to send your reception report. Thank you. Listeners who are listening to our radio now, we'll play a beautiful song special for you. Let's check it out.
Masih di sini untuk setia.
Well, listener, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. We want to say thank you to our listeners who have liked and visited our official Facebook fan pages. Thank you for visiting our Facebook fan pages and for being our regular listeners. And we also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter @voiindonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we'll play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
Ku hanya untukmu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Putri, jangan menangis. Hapus air mata di wajah cantikmu. Putri, kepergianku tak akan lama. Tahan rindumu.
Putri, seandainya saja ku bisa menghentikan waktu. Ku hentikan waktu.
Bila kau rindukan aku, putri, coba kau
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.